This week marks 10 years since the Selendang IU ran aground off Unalaska Island. The vessel lost power and broke in half against the shore, spilling oil and its soybean cargo and leaving 6 crew members dead. It was the biggest shipping disaster in the Aleutians' recent history, and as KUCB's Annie Ropeek reports, its impacts are still evolving today.
Name a maritime disaster in the Aleutian Islands, and Dan Magone has probably helped clean it up. He's been salvaging shipwrecks since long before a real spill response system was in place. That had changed thanks to the Exxon Valdez by December 2004, when the soybean carrier Selendang IU lost power north of Unalaska. But even then, Magone says,
we were very ill-equipped to deal with a ship of that size.
There was no automatic tracking to give early warning that the 738-foot vessel was in trouble, and no heavy-duty tugboats nearby to rescue it. Tow lines from local tugs kept snapping, and the Selendang's anchors didn't hold. Magone got on scene just as the vessel went aground, and the Coast Guard started airlifting the crew to safety. With a squall moving in, Magone went back to Unalaska.
We landed at the airport, and I got out of the helicopter right as my son was driving by in a welding truck. He pulls off the side of the road, comes over and gives me a great big hug, which is totally out of character. But what I didn't know was the Coast Guard helicopter crashed not long after we left.
6 Selendang crew members were lost at sea, but the Coast Guardsmen survived that crash. Retired Coast Guard Captain Ron Morris, the federal on-scene coordinator for the disaster, remembers meeting them in town.
They still smelled like the jet fuel, whatever they used in the helicopters. I mean, they reeked of, you know, the disaster, essentially.
Meanwhile, the ocean was ripping the Selendang IU in half. The spill that followed poured 336,000 gallons of oil and 66,000 tons of soybeans into the water and onto shore. Magone was ready to start responding, though the weather meant his expectations weren't high. Now he thinks they're lucky if they clean 10% of the spill. Still, Ron Morris says locals were angry at first that the complex multi-agency planning process and lack of nearby equipment delayed the response.
It's just that you're so far away from everything there. You're working on the other side of the island, which is remote as well. And those resources just aren't, you know, around the corner.
Once it began, the project would last 2 years. It was the biggest, longest job Dan Magone ever took on, and hundreds of locals got involved. Brenda Tellman was hired to scour the beaches for oil, rock by rock, living at the site for weeks on end.
Some beaches were really messy and really stinky, but I think even if you got what we got off, it was better than leaving it there. And we ended up using some seashells that worked pretty good, better than the scrapers itself.
Others worked to keep Unalaska's multi-billion dollar seafood industry safe from any oil that turned up close to town. The big fisheries were unharmed, but the state did close a small tanner crab harvest near the spill. Some fishermen found work at the wreck to make up for lost revenue. Roger Rowland was one of those. When he talks about the Selendang now, he's quick to bring up other local spills, some of them deadly, like the Kuroshima in 1997. He says, yes, the Selendang was dramatic, but it's just one in a long list.
And if you throw in near misses, you can easily call one a year, just right here in our local waters. It's not as out of the box as we might like to think it is. It's just barely outside the box.
Still, that was enough to spark some big changes to spill planning in the region. The Selendang led to Unalaska's emergency towing system, which has come in handy in the past several years. And it resulted in better vessel monitoring, a vital tool in a high-traffic area where weather and human error will always cause problems. But one thing some say might have saved the Selendang hasn't happened, the dedicated heavy-duty tug. Retired Captain Ron Morris says it's a missing piece at either end of the Aleutian chain where thousands of ships cross over as they transit the Pacific.
You know, if you had a vessel, a towing vessel, BADAC, and they're at Unalaska Dutch Harbor so that you could take care of vessels on the Great Circle Route and those two choke points, you'd have a much better opportunity to conduct a save on a drifting vessel.
That unfilled need has been especially significant for Dan Magone. A year ago, he merged his decades-old salvage company with Resolve Marine. The international corporation saw an in after the Selendang for one of their tugs, the Resolve Pioneer.
Resolve thought, well, if we could hook up with Magone and use his facility and, you know, do what he's been doing to try and make income any way we can so that we can have a vessel out there until it's needed. And so that's what evolved there.
But it's not ideal for the Aleutian Islands Risk Assessment, a study funded by the settlement from the Selendang that's just now wrapping up. They plan to ask the federal government and other sources for millions of dollars to finance an even bigger tug and a whole new response system. Finding that funding will be a big challenge. It predates the Selendang and still hasn't been solved 10 years down the road. In Unalaska, I'm Annie Ropeek.